just in time for kickoff. Hooters' famous saucy wings, delicious seafood, half-pound stacked burgers, and fresh chopped salads. Hooters is honored to serve the Tampa Bay community with delicious take-home and a great place to watch the game with friends and family. Providing that famous neighborhood hospitality only Hooters can deliver. Hooters, proud sponsor of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Visit originalhooters.com for locations near you.
This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. This is episode 39 already. We're just coming off week 7 of the National Football League season. Early look ahead to week 8. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters with a huge shout out to Bill Curry Ford on Northdale Mabry in Tampa, which has hosted the last two annual Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast draft nights. And Sean Sullivan, the general manager of Bill Curry Ford, who plays in one of our podcast leagues, also writes the checks for $1,000 to every winner of a Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast League, and there is no entry fee. Thanks to Hooters. Thanks to Bill Curry Ford. Email for podcast listeners only is ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com, ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. Do me one favor. I have to remind you guys of this like two or three times a year. Send one email. I'm going to respond to it. But get it all in one email. If I respond, some of you try to follow up. Put it all in one email. Let's do this one shot. It saves me time. It saves you time. I believe someone last week sent me an email and had a follow-up. I want to keep it just one from you, one response from me, and we're good. And that's it for the week. I don't mind if you send an email per week, but put it all in one email. It'll just save me time rather than going back and forth. On social media, you can find me at ToddWright2121 on Instagram and on Twitter and on Facebook. We can be friends at Todd Wright in Tampa, Florida. Please do not ask me to like additional pages or we will have a very difficult time maintaining a friendship. And I promise I will never do that to you. I cover everything with one page on Facebook. Let's just look now that we are suddenly about one-third of the buys are done based on what some called buy-mageddon in week 7. Six teams being off combined with the four teams that were off. And for those of you that didn't look it up, wondering why the Dolphins played last week, lost on the late field goal by the Falcons as we await the Deshaun Watson deal and then what the league is going to do about Deshaun Watson. Dolphins chose not to be off the week after London. It was less about wanting to play after London and more about requesting a bye week later in the season, which apparently you can do. So prior to the Dolphin loss, the teams that had played the week after a trip to London were 2-2. They're now 2-3. So there really isn't a lot tangibly to go on to say it's a disadvantage. 2-2 going into a game that was there to be won for Miami. Tua makes a couple of bad mistakes down the field, which is not his strength. And the late field goal from the Falcons. You've got two very teams in that game. But the Dolphins wanted the bye week later in the season as their season slips away in the early part of the year. Okay, what we're going to do today, and I talked about this prior to this week, I have been going on total points in my rankings, and because 10 of 32 NFL teams have now had a bye week, we're going to go based on average points per week for season rankings. And I still included most injured players just to show what they were doing prior to or around their injury in the rankings. I did 15 quarterbacks. I actually left Russell Wilson out because we just don't know when he's going to be back. Wilson otherwise would be what? He's right there with Mahomes and Stafford, right around QB 6 or 7 or 8. But I left some injured players in the wide receiver tight end rankings and also in the running back rankings, and just going to make a few points off that. First, with the quarterbacks, Josh Allen tied with Derrick Henry for overall number one in my 21st century standard scoring settings at 24.1 points per game. Allen coming off the bye week. But Allen tied with Henry for overall number one player in fantasy football. So, and we're going to do this, I think, I don't think I'll do it in the next podcast, but maybe the one after that. We're going to do sort of what was the dream draft. And just off the top of my head, if you took Henry in round one and Josh Allen in round three, those really stand out. But Josh Allen tied for number one overall with Derrick Henry and is QB1 at 24.1 points per game on average. All of these are averages as well. Tom Brady, 1 point back at 23.1. Because there were so many blowouts in week seven, some fantasy numbers were impacted just because teams kind of laid off the gas in the second half. There was no urgency to run it up. I fell victim to that a little bit with one loss in particular in week seven. So Brady QB2 at 23.1. Hurts back up to QB3 now at 22.5. The one-man gang for the Philadelphia Eagles. Kyler Murray, there's another example of a guy who just laid off the gas near the end of the game. 21.9 is QB4. Lamar Jackson on a bye this week. QB5 at 21.5. Then Mahomes at QB6. Right around here would be Russell Wilson. I don't know why I left him out of the rankings, because I left injured players in at the other positions. I apologize, but for our purposes, let's just say Mahomes is QB6 at 20.8. Stafford QB7 at 20.7. Russell Wilson would be like right in there. Call it a tie. Justin Herbert QB8 at 20.4. Dak Prescott off his bye week, QB9 at 19.6. Kirk Cousins now off his bye week at 18.8. Let's go five deeper. Aaron Rodgers, who may be without Devontae Adams this coming week unless Adams can test Tuesday negative for COVID, Wednesday negative for COVID, get the results or something similar before Thursday night, that could impact Rodgers. 18.2, he's QB11 in my rankings. Burrow up to QB12, thanks to Jamar Chase at 17.4. Jameis, QB13, 16.6. Carr, QB14 at 16.4. Wentz, QB15 at 15.7. Let's move to the wide receiver tight end flex spot, or as I just basically rank tight ends with wide receivers, putting them on the same, putting them up against one another to again hammer home the tight ends just don't carry enough value to be mandatory in season-long leagues. Cooper Kupp is number one. Now, in terms of overall, Cooper Kupp actually moved up a little bit. Last week we had him at overall, I think, 12 because it went Henry, then 10 quarterbacks, then Kupp. Kupp moves up a little bit on the average per game this week. It's Henry and Allen. Then, if we're going to include Wilson, so let's go ahead and do that, then 8 quarterbacks, then Kupp. So Kupp is overall 11, and he's wide receiver 1. So I guess we could also say, I guess we're going to do this right now. The dream draft was Henry in the first round, Josh Allen. I mean, did some take Josh Allen in round 2? I guess you did. But I got someone else to put in there. We'll do that in a second. Let's say you got Allen in round 3, which I know some of you did. Got Allen in round 3 as the second quarterback off the board. Some of you took him late in round 2. But if you went Henry round 1, Allen round 3, and Cooper Kupp round 4, that's a very strong draft. So Kupp is wide receiver tight end number one, not even close. 3.4 points difference before you get to Jamar Chase. And if we go a step further, you probably could have taken Chase in round five off his horrible camp and preseason. Chase is up to wide receiver two in my settings, and off a week he was wide receiver one, where even one moron via Twitter asked the NFL Fantasy Live show late in the week, should he bench Chase because someone else had a better matchup? And I'm going to do an entire podcast soon about how matchups are so ridiculously overrated. Take a look at your own guy, his production, his volume, his touch count, his role in the offense. There are very, very, very few examples where you would bench the proper player because of who he's playing. You just need to get over that. You need to stop listening to these TV shows that have hours to fill who keep bringing that up. It is way down the board in reasons why you play or not play a player. You need to look more at your own team and less about what's going on the other side of the ball. So Jamar Chase off his wide receiver 1 week in a huge win for the Bengals is up to wide receiver two for the season. Debo in a sloppy game still had high volume. He's wide receiver three on the season at 15.5. Then Mike Williams, 14.6. Gronk hasn't played since the Ram game, but I put him in there as the top tight end for when he has played. Granted, he crapped out, as we said, week three against the Rams. Not sure if he's back this week against the Saints. Have a feeling he will be. Although I think the Buck bye week is the week after. But that means he could play, then rest, then be ready to go after that. But Gronk is wide receiver tight end five, although that's basically a 2.5 game sampling. Tyreek Hill, I show at wide receiver tight end six. Antonio Brown, who missed a game with the ankle injury, he's now missed two games. But on average, I show Brown as, if we take Gronk out of it, wide receiver six at 13.3. No, that's Hollywood Brown, who's just ahead of Antonio Brown. So it goes Hollywood, then Antonio Brown at 13.3. Wide receiver tight end nine. Wide receiver eight is Devontae Adams. We've talked about him being on the COVID list. That's probably going to go right down to game time. Mike Evans off his huge game in the absence of Antonio Brown, in the absence of Gronk, 13.1, now suddenly a wide receiver tight end, top 10. The next 10, let's go deeper. DK Metcalf had the one big play. Anyone else think they were seeing the Minneapolis, what they call it, the Minneapolis miracle, where Case Keenum threw it up, Stephon Diggs caught it, and the Saints just fell down around him? That's what the Metcalf play looked like to me on Monday Night Football. Metcalf, wide receiver 10 at 12.8 per game. CeeDee Lamb, wide receiver 11. Again, if you include Gronk and make it a wide receiver tight end flex, they move down one spot. Then Hopkins at 12, Jefferson at 11.8, Deontay Johnson 11.6 at wide receiver tight end 15. Then Thielen 11.6, McScorin 11.3. There's Kelsey. So he is the number two tight end to Gronk. And in wide receiver tight end rankings, for players who have actually played every game, he's number one, but there are 16 wide receivers in front of him. And then Emmanuel Sanders and DJ Moore. All right, let's move to the running back. Let's do the top 20 there. It's Derrick Henry by 7.1 points per game better than anybody else. 7.1. And again, tied with Josh Allen for overall one in my 21st century standard scoring rankings. Eckler is second at 17. So here's my thought on, and then Ezekiel Elliott 16.4. Eckler was someone you might have been able to get in round two. I know in a majority of leagues he went in round one, but again, sort of the dream draft looking back would be you got Henry, Eckler, Henry, then Eckler, then Allen, then Kupp, then Chase. Maybe even Debo in the sixth round. Easy to look at now. But that would have been the dream draft for the top guys. Eckler, RB2 at 17 points per game. Zeke, RB3 at 16.4. Jonathan Taylor, high volume as the Colts get on track, 16.2. Also, I believe Taylor just gets a ton of balls not only thrown at him, but he's getting all the red zone volume too. Kamara is 5 at 16 points per game on average. Nick Chubb, currently hurt, 6 at 15.6. Then Corderell, still getting it done. With Adams potentially out. Funny, I got a trade offer this week. I'll save that for here at the end of the podcast. But Patterson, I list him as a running back, knowing in some platforms you can use him as a running back and a wide receiver or a wide receiver. He's 14.8, RB7. James Robinson, RB8. Najee Harris, RB9. There's the volume I always talk about. Darrell Henderson, RB10 at 14.3. The second 10, McCaffrey. For what it's worth, he's RB11 for the few games he played. Kareem Hunt, who's out for probably another month, RB12 at 14 points per game. DeAndre Swift, high volume of passes caught. Right there, I think him, Taylor, and Kamara, 1, 2, 3, in terms of passes caught by running backs. So Swift at 13.6 is RB13. Then Dalvin Cook. Then Montgomery for the little he's played for the Bears. Keep telling you about Khalil Herbert. And for those of you that were scared off by the matchup against the Bucks, you missed a 100-yard game. Then Aaron Jones. Then Joe Mixon, little lower than you want with Joe Mixon, especially with the Bengals winning at just 13.3 points per game. Then Leonard Fournette continues to produce. Oh, if he had just produced one more touchdown. He had 3 chances to get a second touchdown in the second half. And if so, I win my podcast league game against Joe Bucks fan, ironically. Didn't get it, though. Jacobs, 12.3, RB19. And then suddenly at RB20, the guy I picked up on waivers prior to week one action, and I've just held on to him, even though, you know, he produced in game one, got hurt in game two, and you hadn't heard anything from him. And then Eli Mitchell goes out in a sloppy game and looks outstanding from the beginning for Kyle Shanahan. Mitchell at RB20 and 11.2 points per game. Granted, he's only played 3 full games. It's been erratic, but clearly Shanahan likes what he has with Eli Mitchell. I mean, that Niner offense is basically Debo and Mitchell because Kittle's not healthy. All right, so what was the point? Okay, so without Adams this week, I was one of those, and I know Russell Wilson owners dealt with this a couple of weeks ago because I know the Payway Privateers, Scott, who's the regional manager of Payway, got all these trade offers immediately when Russell Wilson went down. That's understandable. It is. It's understandable. So I forget what I did last year when someone went down and I just blew up my team and I basically restarted. I forget what player I had go down and it was like, all right, I need to trade my best player. Which I did. I traded Derrick Henry. I owned him in the podcast league. I traded him in the foundation league and got as much as I could for him. I think I got Mahomes for him. Yeah, I think that's what I did last year. I traded Henry for Mahomes. Wouldn't do that now, but I did it last year. It actually worked out. Point being, so when Russell Wilson goes down, or when Devontae Adams is out, and it's different because when Wilson goes down, there was more of a how long is he going to be out. With Adams going down, it's interesting. And in the podcast league, it's my opponent this week. So he sends me a trade offer last night as I'm watching the Monday night game. And he even prefaced it by saying, odd to make a trade offer to the person I'm playing this coming week, but he obviously liked what he saw in Eli Mitchell and was trying to get him from me. And was it for that particular game? Did I not play him in the podcast league? Yeah, I didn't need him. No, I did play him. Yeah, because my starting backfield last week was Fournette and Mitchell. Both producing double-digit points. Both scoring. Both getting significant yardage. I played Mitchell over Herbert. Not because I didn't think Herbert would produce. I was just like, let me go with Mitchell because I'm not sure if the Bears are going to score, and they didn't. So the person I'm playing in the podcast league this week says all that, but then said, and here's the key thing I want to end the podcast with, you need a wide receiver one with Adams out. The same thing that the Payway Privateers were hearing when they were getting trade offers with Russell Wilson out. You need a QB one. Only you know what you need. No one else determines that. This reminds me of, and I think most of you know, I was raised by my grandparents. They're my legal guardians. They have passed on. I think about them. I'm looking at their pictures right now, not staring at it right here where I do the podcast, but their pictures are in my home, and I can look from a spot really in my living room area, and I see these wonderful pictures of my grandparents smiling. My grandmother hated the word should. Hated it. Especially when it came from grandpa. When grandpa would say, I guess this was passive aggressive before anyone really categorized what passive aggressive was. So my grandfather would say, Eck, which is his nickname for my grandmother, Esther. Eck, you should blank. Oh, my grandmother would get just furious. This is funny for me to talk about, so just indulge me. So then off to the side, she'd say to me, like, he should go blank, was her response. She wouldn't say it to his face, but she was really upset. All right, so the word should to my grandmother is the word need when someone says it to you. Act the same way my grandmother did of when my grandfather told my grandmother she should do something. So when another owner says to you, you need, like an owner did in the podcast league this week, you need a wide receiver one because Davante Adams is out. And I rejected the trade. I said, I did respect his aggressive nature considering we play this week. I said, however, I said, if Adams can't go, it's still an if. Now, if he doesn't have one positive COVID test by Wednesday night, we're going to know. But we have waivers this week. That's option. That's an option. So here are all my options. A, Adams could still play. B, waivers hasn't even opened yet. C, I have Zach Ertz. I picked him up last week. Long touchdown produced in an Arizona game where they only needed to play for what? 34 minutes? I could put Zach Ertz in for Adams. And or I can just slide Cordarrelle Patterson to wide receiver and play Eli Mitchell, the guy he wanted to trade for. So don't let any other owner in a trade offer where you have lost a player due to injury or COVID or a bye tell you you need something. Only you know what you need. And if you have any questions on if you need something or not, you can email me. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. I'm still smiling and snickering about how my grandmother reacted when my grandfather told her she should do something. Thanks for listening to episode 39, season 6 of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. We'll talk to you next time.